Saturday, April 30th, the Delaware Valley Opera will present the fourth concert in its Voices of the Valley concert series called An Evening of Russian Arias and Songs at the Grace Episcopal Church, 827 Church Street in Holmesdale, Pennsylvania at 7 p.m. www.DelawareValleyOpera.org. Saturday, April 30th, Chamber Music at St. Andrews presents clarinetist Stanley Drucker playing Mozart, 8 p.m. at St. Andrews Episcopal Church, 5277 State Route 42 in South Fallsburg, New York. Reservations are required. Call 845-292-8967. Saturday, April 30th, you can see Myth America, a zany look at six women who are trying to redefine their American dream, performed at the Rosendale Theater Collective, 408 Main Street in Rosendale, New York, at 8 p.m. 845-658-8989. Sunday, May 1st is the 17th annual Old Time Fiddlers Gathering from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Neversink Fire Hall on Route 55 in Neversink, New York. 845-985-2923. Sunday, May 1st, there's a lecture by Stephen J. Davis on wildlife and nature photography from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Sunshine Hall Free Library, 14 Proctor Road in Eldred, New York. 845-557-6258.
The WJFF calendar can now be found at wjffradio.org on the archive page. Thank you for listening. Please stay tuned.
I'm Kathy Geary. Welcome to Now and Then here on WJFF Radio Catskill. Today's program, we'll be listening to the music of the genius, the American singer-songwriter, Paul Simon.
Everybody sees the wind blow. wasteland. Am I traveling too fast? There's a ghost in empty sockets. I'm looking at ghosts and empties. But I've reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland. There is a girl in New York City who calls herself a human trampoline. Sometimes when I'm falling, flying, tumbling in turmoil, I say, whoa, so this is what she means. She means we're bouncing into Graceland. And I see losing love is like a window in your heart. Well, everybody sees you're blown apart. Everybody feels the wind blow. Ooh, in Graceland. Graceland, I'm going to Graceland. For reasons I cannot explain, there's some part of me wants to see Graceland. And I may be obliged to defend every love, every ending, or maybe there's no obligations now. Maybe I'm a reason to believe we all will be received.
Graceland. That's the title track from Paul Simon's 1986 solo album, Graceland. That's Paul Simon's most commercially successful album. That album has sold about 7 million copies around the world to date. And you know, here on Now and Then, we are interested in the careers and in the creative process of singer-songwriters. And if I was to ask you, you know, when you think of the term singer-songwriter, who comes to mind? Well, you know, Paul Simon just might be the first name that comes to your lips. Paul Simon, amazing artist. He was only 11 years old in Queens when he meets his friend Art Garfunkel. And when they're 12 years old, they sing together for the first time in a sixth grade production, sixth grade graduation. They sing together in a performance of Alice in Wonderland. And that begins their musical career. They go to high school together, and when they're 13 years old, they start performing as a singing duo. When they graduate high school, Paul Simon actually goes on to Queens College and earns a degree in English literature. Art Garfunkel is attending Columbia University at that time. And, you know, he actually, they signed their first recording contract in 1964, and he never looks back. Paul Simon is a musician for his entire life. That very first recording, Art Garfunkel and Paul Simon, was called Wednesday Morning 3 a.m. And, you know, it just didn't get very much attention. It was basically 12 folk songs with a couple of original Paul Simon songs tossed in. And it doesn't really go anywhere. And Paul Simon kind of gets a little frustrated and he leaves the country. He goes to London. And while he's overseas, there's this producer named Tom Wilson. And he gets a hold of the Sounds of Silence and he overdubs electric bass and drums, and voila, a hit is born. So their first big international hit, Paul Simon comes racing back to the United States, and Art Garfunkel and Paul Simon begin a spectacular international career all throughout the 60s. In 1970, they released their final recording as a duo, The Bridge Over Troubled Water. And shortly after that, Paul Simon launches into a solo career. And his first three albums are monster hits. His self-titled Paul Simon, followed by There Goes Rhymin' Simon, and then Still Crazy After All These Years. Incredible, incredible success. He's working with a producer on those early recordings, a Phil Ramone. So songwriting, he's a quintessential songwriter. And the question for me about how does a person as talented as him, how do they work? Is it the words first? Do they write the poetry? Or do they write the music first? And it seems everyone has a different approach. Well, I have some very interesting recordings that Paul Simon made recently discussing his creative process. And Paul Simon has just released a new recording called So Beautiful or So What? It was released on April the 8th in 2011. That's just so recently. And he talks about the songwriting and the creative process that he used in this most recent recording. So I'd like to listen to some of the things that he has to say. We'll be listening to different things that he has to say throughout the program today. The first thing he talks about is that question about songwriting. Words or music first? So let's listen to what he has to say about the songwriting process, and then we'll hear a song called The Afterlife from his most recent release, So Beautiful or So What? Paul Simon.
In the case of this album, I started off with the thought that I didn't want to begin the process of making another album with a rhythmic premise, which is really how I had been making albums really ever since Graceland. What I mean by that is, rather than sitting in a room with a guitar and playing around till some thought comes into my head, I would go in and make a track, and then I'd write the song. And the reason I did that was because the album that was before Graceland, which was Hearts and Bones, I really was disappointed with the way some of the songs came out, because I didn't think I made the tracks well. And I was so frustrated that I said, I really don't want to go through that again. I'll just make tracks that are really good, and then I'll figure out how to write songs. And if I don't like the song, I'll just erase the song. And the track will still be there, and I'll still like it. And I'll just do that until eventually I get a song that I like. And Graceland was my first experiment with that for an entire album.
After I died and the makeup had dried, I went back to my place. No moon that night, but a heavenly light shone on my face. Still I thought it was odd, there was no sign of God just to usher me in. Then a voice from above, sugar-coated with love, said, let us begin. You got to fill out a form first, and then you wait in the line. You got to fill out a form first, and then you wait in the line. Okay, a new kid in school, got to follow the rule, you got to learn the routine. Whoa, there's a girl over there with the sunshiny hair like a homecoming queen. I said, hey, what you say, it's a glorious day. By the way, how long you been dead? Maybe you, maybe me, maybe baby makes three, but she just shook her head. You got to fill out a form first, and then you wait in the line. You got to fill out a form first, and then you wait in the line. And Moses and all the noses from narrow to flat. I
got to stand in the line, just a glimpse of divine. What you think about that? Well, it seems like our fate to suffer and wait for the knowledge we seek. It's all his design, no one cuts in the line, no one here likes to sneak. You got to fill out a form first, and then you wait in the line. You got to fill out a form first, and then you wait in the line. After you climb up the ladder of time, the Lord God is near. Face to face in the vastness of space, your words disappear. And you feel like you're swimming in an ocean of love, and the current is strong. But all that remains when you try to explain is a fragment of song. Lord, is it Be-Bop-A-Lula or Oom-Pop-A-Doo? Lord, Be-Bop-A-Lula or Oom-Pop-A-Doo?
The Afterlife, from Paul Simon's most recent release, So Beautiful or So What. That album, this album has just been released and it's already debuted at number 4 on the U.S. Billboard Top 200 chart. And in the first week of sales, it sold 68,000 copies. What an incredible recording. You know, they called him Rhymin' Simon. And when you listen to the lyrics on this amazing song, The Afterlife, oh my, you know, I thought it was odd. There was no sign of God just to usher me in. And it's an incredible way he plays with the words and circles them around into the meaning. And the process of recording, that track and a lot of the music on this album sounds to me like, you know, some of his best, intelligently conceived music. And the collaboration that he does with the producer Phil Ramone has been an incredible source of inspiration for him throughout his career. And I do have a quote that Paul Simon has, and he talks about working on this album, So Beautiful or So What, with a producer, Phil Ramone. So let's listen to what Paul has to say, and then we'll listen to a recording that he made in 1973 from his Here Comes Rhymin' Simon album, where Phil Ramone produced, called Kodachrome. And after that, we'll be hearing another track from this most recent recording called Rewrite. Paul Simon.
I work with Phil Ramone, who I've known for so long. I mean, the first record we made together was me and Julio down by the schoolyard. And then, well, he made all of my hits of the 70s, you know, Kodachrome, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, you know, Still Crazy After All These Years, Rhymin' Simon. Those are all Phil Ramone albums. It was very easy for us to work together, and he's a guy whose opinion I can trust. I know that he's going to actually give me an opinion, and he's not going to flatter me. So I could say, is that cool? You know, is this as interesting to you as it is to me? And, you know, if he said no, I pretty much got off the subject, you know. And if he said yeah, well then, you know, I settled into, you know, to solving the problems, you know. Or I'd say, you know, there's a certain slapback I want to get, and I don't know how you get it. He'd solve it.
All the crap I learned in high school, It's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall. Hold a throne.
I've been working on my rewrite, that's right. I'm gonna change the ending. Gonna throw away my title and toss it in the trash. Every minute after midnight, all the time I'm spending, it's just for working on my rewrite, that's right. And I'm gonna turn it into cash. I've been working at the car wash. I consider it my day job, 'cause it's really not a paid job, but that's where I am. Everybody says the old guy working at the car wash hasn't got a brain cell left since Vietnam. But I say, help me, help me, help me, help me, thank you. I had no idea that you were there when I said, help me, help me, help me, help me. Listening to my prayer.
right. I'm gonna change the ending. Won't throw away my title and toss it in the trash. Every minute after midnight, all the time I'm spending just for working on my rewrite. That's right. I'm gonna turn it into cash. I'll eliminate the pages where the father has a breakdown and he has to leave the family, but he really meant no harm. I'm gonna substitute a car chase and a race across the rooftops when the father saves the children and he holds them in his arms. And I say, help me, help me, help me, help me, thank you. I had no idea that you were there. When I said, help me, help me, help me, help me, listening to my friend. Working on my rewrite.
Simon. Paul Simon, that's from his most current release, So Beautiful or So What, and that song is called Rewrite. I've been working on my rewrite. That's right, I'm going to change the ending. Going to throw away the title and toss it in the trash. You know, Paul Simon is 69 years old at this point, and as a songwriter, he's never flinched. He's always seemed to look straight ahead and write about what he honestly sees. And he writes from his heart, and he's a very deep man. And on this album, he waxes quite philosophical. You know, that first song we called, the first song we heard, The Afterlife. And, you know, now the rewrite, I'm going to change the ending. I'm going to switch it all up. I'm going to throw away the title. So there's some really serious subject matter on this album, and it's so beautifully said, and it's so gentle. He never gets depressed about some of these questions that we all have about life and that we can't quite answer. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. Today's program features Paul Simon. And I do have some wonderful recordings of Paul talking about the process for recording this album and some of what he goes through as he conceives of songs. And we're about to listen to another recording from this album called Questions for the Angels. What a beautiful title. And he speaks about, he's going to talk about, you know, the concepts behind the song, and then we'll listen to the track. And I want you to notice the instrumentation in this recording, Questions for the Angels. Paul Simon is singing and playing the guitar. He's also playing percussion. But there's also gongs, wind chimes. There's a celeste, a harp, a marimba. Questions for the Angels. No drum set. No trap set, no bass, no electric bass guitar. Very unusual and beautiful instrumentation, almost approaching a classical art song. Let's hear what Paul Simon has to say about Questions for the Angels, and then we'll be hearing that track. Paul Simon.
Taking a song that's in an abstract time and place, where you're not really, you're just following the story. Like the pilgrim on a pilgrimage walked across the Brooklyn Bridge, you know, his sneakers torn. So now, okay, who is this guy? What's up? A pilgrim, a pilgrimage, maybe something spiritual going on here, maybe. We don't really know, you know. The song is called Questions for the Angels, and I've already asked four or five questions, all of which are of some interest. And he starts off with relatively simple questions. I mean, who am I? You know, where will I sleep tonight? You know, questions for the angels. Who believes in angels? I mean, fools and pilgrims. Then the questions get a little bit more abstract, I guess. Well, if you shop for love in a bargain store and you don't get what you bargained for, do you get your money back? If an empty train in a railroad station calls you to its destination, can you choose another track? Are we predetermined? Do we have to get on the train that's... Or can we change? Again, you know, not the first time anybody ever asked that question. Questions for the angels. Who believes in angels? I do. Now the writer, me, makes a statement that's vulnerable. Well, I do. Do I really? In the song, I do. It's important. Then the real question is, if all the humans on the planet and all the buildings on it should disappear, would a zebra grazing in the African savannah care enough to shed one zebra tear? Now that's a real question. Hey, if we weren't here, would everything be better? Really. Putting our own selfishness aside, would the planet be better? I'm not answering. I just say, you want to ask a question? A tough question? That's a tough question for me. I couldn't answer. So that became an interesting song because of that question.
A pilgrim on a pilgrimage walked across the Brooklyn Bridge, his sneakers torn. In the hour when the homeless move their cardboard blankets and the new day is born, folded in his backpack pocket, the questions that he'd copied from his heart. Who am I in this lonely world, and where will I make my bed tonight when twilight turns to dark? Questions for the angels. Who believes in angels? Fools do. Fools and pilgrims all over the world. If you shop for love in a bargain store and you don't get what you bargained for, can you get your money back? If an empty train in a railroad station calls you to its destination, can you choose another track? Will I wake up from these violent dreams with my hair as white as the morning moon? Questions for in angels. I do. Fools and pilgrims all over the world. Downtown Brooklyn, the pilgrim is passing a billboard that catches his eye. It's Jay-Z. He's got a kid on each knee. He's wearing clothes that he wants us to try. If every human on the planet and all the buildings on it should disappear, would a zebra grazing in the African savannah care enough to shed one zebra tear? Questions for the angels.
Simon, Questions for the Angels. That's from his most recent release, just released in April. That's this month. And it's called So Beautiful or So What. And I love that beautiful guitar style that Paul Simon has. You know, I talked about earlier in 1964 when his very first recording didn't really go anywhere and he travels to England. That's where he really learns a lot of his guitar styles and he carries it throughout his entire career. I'm Kathy Geary and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. So this album, So Beautiful or So What, has gotten some really incredible reviews, and I'd like to read three of them for you. These are some very well-known music critics. John Pareles of the New York Times, this is what he says, quote, "He's finding solace, fleeting and fragmentary, and every springy guitar lick is its own benediction." And he views this album as an improvement over the Simon's most previous albums called Surprise. And John Pareles further says, "Sketches of individuals and moments are intertwined with grander pronouncements, unforced humor tempers, and gloomier reflections." Great review. Critic for the Chicago Tribune, Greg Kot, says that fortunately he approaches it with a light touch and a skip in his stride. He turns the metaphysical into a series of narratives tinged not just with poignance, but humor and groove. Great review, great review. And then the last review I wanted to read from the Washington Post, the music critic Joe Heim. And he praises the album's themes of morality, love, and God, calls it a reminder of the power of popular song to express the universal, to shape meaning into melody, and to serve up rhythm and rhyme in irresistible fashion. So everyone is taken with this album. I love this music. I hope you're enjoying listening to some of these wonderful recordings from Paul Simon's current release, So Beautiful or So What. It's an interesting recording process that he uses. He's used so many outstanding musicians that he collaborates with in this recording. And additionally, he reaches back and he uses some samples from some very interesting recordings from the 1930s. He has a reverend giving a sermon that he excerpts from in one of his songs. And he actually uses a recording of Sonny Terry, the old blues musician, in a harmonica solo. He talks about that. Let's hear what Paul Simon has to say about that part of his recording process. And then let's listen to another song from this incredible album called Love is Eternal and Sacred Light. Paul Simon.
A harmonica solo on Love is Eternal. That's Sonny Terry. And I think that harmonica solo was recorded in the late 30s or early 40s. And what I said was, you know what? This over here, it feels like it wants a harmonica solo. But let's just see if a harmonica solo works. So let's take a bunch of harmonica players and throw it in there just to see if the sound works. So here comes Sonny Terry, and it's good, except it's in the wrong key. But now we're living in the age of Pro Tools. So I said, change the key, speed it up, let's see if it works. And it does work. So it's serendipity, and you get it. You know, if it doesn't work, well, I mean, there's probably hundreds of things that I tried on this album that didn't work. That's part of the reason that the process takes so long.
Flew moonlight into gold, earth to green and blue. Love. say it without saying. A demon that feeds on the mind. Earth becomes a farm, farmer takes a wife. Wife becomes a river and a giver of life. Man becomes machine, oil runs down his face. Machine becomes a man with a bomb in the marketplace. Bomb in the marketplace, bomb in the Love is eternal, sacred light, free from the shackles of time. Evil is darkness, sight without sight, a demon that feeds on the mind.
Love is eternal and sacred light, Paul Simon. So love, he writes a lot about love. He has his entire career. And, you know, he has written some beautiful love songs. He has some very interesting things to say about how he views love songs and what it's like to write them. So let's listen to what Paul Simon has to say on the subject of love songs. And then we'll be hearing two songs that he's written, one from his 1975 album, Still Crazy After All These Years. And then from this most recent release, we'll hear Dazzling Blue. Paul Simon.
I think that time and love, they're eternal themes. Of course, the love gets put in the perspective of time the older you get, and time is in a much smaller perspective in the songs about love the younger the person is. You know, then it's I'll love you forever. Later on, you realize this isn't no forever, it's so precious, this amount of time. So that's what happens with love songs. They're related to the age that you are when you're in love at that point and how you see it and how you feel about it. And I think it's sort of inevitable that I would be dealing with those subjects, you know, given that I've been a songwriter since I'm 13 and now I'm 69. So that's inevitable.
Met my old lover on the street last night. She seemed so glad to see me. I just smiled and
we talked about some old times, and we drank ourselves some beers. Still crazy after all these years. Oh, still crazy after all these years. I'm not the kind of man who tends to socialize. I seem to lean on old familiar ways. Ain't no fool for love songs that whisper in my ears. Still crazy after all these years. Oh, still crazy after all these years. Four in the morning, crapped out, yawning, longing my life.
Maybe love's an accident. for destiny is true. With you and I were born beneath a star of dazzling blue. Dazzling blue. Dazzling blue.
Simon, Dazzling Blue. That's from his most recent release, So Beautiful or So What. And right before that, we heard Still Crazy After All These Years, his 1975 recording. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF.
WJFF and Catskill Harvest present Foodstock. Everyone's calling in to get their tickets for the biggest food event of the season. Over 50 farmers, restaurants, bakers, distributors, and wineries from across our region offering tastes of their very best. It happens Saturday, May 7th from 11 to 4 at the Villa Roma Resort in Calicoon. Call WJFF at 845-482-4141 and get your tickets for Foodstock today.
All right, So Beautiful or So What? What's up with that title? I mean, what does that mean? It's a very introspective and philosophical album. We listened to, you know, Questions for the Angels. We heard a song about the afterlife. God is mentioned and man's destiny and all this deep subject matter. And then the title, So Beautiful or So What? I couldn't understand it. And then I read the liner notes. And he doesn't really tell us word for word what he means, but he gives us a strong sense of the philosophy behind this title. So let me read you a little bit of the liner notes from this most recent release by Paul Simon. Quote, "Which foot falls first upon the trail? Is it the word? Is it the music? As Fred Astaire once wisely sang, you have to let yourself go." So how do you begin? How do you know when you've reached your destination? How do you know when to cut and when you run without painting over the picture? A thing of beauty? Who needs it? But that's the very mystery and fascination of it. The trick is, as I know it, is to care like hell and not give a damn at the same time. Or, as more elegantly proposed here, so beautiful or so what?
Thank you. sausage in the pot. I'm gonna flavor it with okra, cayenne pepper to make it hot. You know life is what we make of it, so beautiful or so what. I'm gonna tell my kids a bedtime story, a play without a plot. Will it have a happy ending? Maybe, yeah, maybe not. I tell them life is what you make of it, so beautiful or so what. So beautiful. A coin dropped in a slot. I am an empty house on Weed Street, across the road from the vacant lot. You know life is what you make of it, so beautiful or so what. And it's strange the way we're ignorant, how we seek out bad advice, how we jitter it and figure it, mistaking value for the price, and play a game with time and love like a pair of rolling dice. So beautiful. So overlooking the parking lot, pointing at a figure in the distance. Dr. King has just been shot, and the siren's wrong melody, singing the Savior, pass me not. And it's strange the way we're ignorant, how we seek out bad advice, how we jigger it and figure it, mistaking value for the price, and play a game with time and love like a pair of rolling dice. So beautiful. So beautiful.
Kathy Geary, and you've been listening to Now and Then here on WJFF Radio Catskill. I hope you've enjoyed today's program, Paul Simon, featuring his most recent recording, So Beautiful or So What. Stay tuned here for Folk Plus.
Support for this program comes from our listeners and from Catskill Farms, builder of early American architecture in Eldred, New York, on the web at the Catskill Farms.
This is 90.5 FM, WJ.